So, Andy, there you are. You're little, you're shoeless, you're almost coatless, you're freezing, and you're walking into Gettysburg to see President Lincoln's address. What happens?
Well, I walked into downtown Gettysburg, which really didn't even resemble a downtown area. It was just really a cluster of buildings that looked like housing, with some of them with multiple stores occupying some of them. And I walked up onto the wooden sidewalk of one of them and looked into what we would call a millinery shop, which during the Civil War contained things like men's shoes and hats and cravats and walking sticks and so forth, gloves. And as I was doing so, an elderly man gambled on up to the wooden sidewalk. He was about 70 years old, and he was limping severely on one of his legs. And he began yelling at me, "Boy, boy, what are you doing out here in the cold like this? You're going to catch your grip," which I take in the Civil War era must have meant catch a cold or a flu. And I've identified that man from historical photographs as a Gettysburg cobbler named John Lawrence Burns.
Huh.
John Burns was a citizen of Gettysburg. In fact, he was one of the first volunteers to the War of 1812 as a child. And when the Battle of Gettysburg swept through and past Gettysburg in July of 1863, he volunteered as a Union sharpshooter, was wounded in the hip, and was surrendered by Confederate forces under a flag of surrender back to the Union forces, and was discharged from the battlefield. And so when I identified this man from historical photographs and realized it was the man who then took me inside the millinery shop to outfit me with a jacket and shoes because he was concerned about my well-being, I really found three things that were quite startling historical correspondences. One, of course, was his appearance. The other was his injury. I mean, before I even knew and had identified him as John Burns, I was describing how this 70-year-old man was limping severely as he walked up onto the wooden sidewalk.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other linkage that quite serendipitously identified without initially knowing who he was his profession. He was a Gettysburg cobbler. So he took me in the shop, and we went to the back of the main floor of the store. It just was basically had a kind of a storage room behind that one room floor space. And there was a shelf with multiple shelves that had used shoes on them. They weren't military boots. They were civilian shoes. And he took a pair of brown men's street shoes that must have been about a size 14. And he had me step into them, and he began actually shoving packing paper into the front of the shoes and was giving me this pair of secondhand shoes. He then took me into the storage room behind the shop and rummaged through a stack of about 40 men's jackets, most of them military issue, and outfitted me with a navy blue Union winter parka, which fit perfectly. And then as he was sort of smiling at me, he put a cap on my head. He then said, "Young man, I have to go. The President of the United States is arriving here today, and I have to see him." So he actually walked out of the shop limping severely ahead of me, and I followed him over to the dais where Lincoln was going to be soon arriving, walking along like a young boy, in his father's Sunday slippers. Like I could hardly even walk in these grossly oversized men's shoes. Now over at the dais, which at that point only had maybe 10 or 15 people already gathered, there was an open dais with nothing on top of it. It was just a big wooden area about, let's say, 20, I'd say maybe 15 or 20 feet deep and maybe 40 feet across with patriotic red, white, and blue bunting around it, but no parapet or ceiling of any kind or pillars or anything. It was just a flat expanse of wood. And I went to the front of the dais because I've been told that I was going to be given the opportunity to see Lincoln give the Gettysburg Address, and I was trying to overcome my fear of looking at him when he arrived. And I looked to my left, and there was my father dressed as a Pennsylvania farmer.
So he went back there too?
Well, he went back there, but he had left East Hanover on a previous day, but had been sent to the same day in history, November 19th of 1863.
Was he looking for you?
At that time, no, he had been sent there earlier, so he couldn't have been briefed on my later arrival to the same day. And he looked. I looked over at him and said, "Dad, what are you doing here?" And he said, "I'm not your father, son. You must be mistaken."
He played it that close to his
Well, see, his training was kicking, and he was thinking, boy, if Andy's here, and he looks several years older than he does back at the house back in 1967 or when whatever he had been sent. I better act like I'm not even his father. So my dad, you know, made sure that he didn't alert any of the people around him that, in fact, his son was there as well, recognizing him as being there, which is certainly a strange event. I was very disconcerted about this because here I'm in 1863 in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, being aware of the momentous event that is about to occur with President Lincoln giving his famous address there. And I thought, this is very disconcerting. So I walked away from my dad over to the left side of the dais. And there were two ladies, young ladies, dressed in their Sunday best, kind of gossiping at me behind their fans. They were sort of saying, well, look at this little carpetbagger. Look at the Union jacket he has on. And look at those men's shoes. They must have thought I was a carpetbagger who had collected my clothing off of the battlefield, because they couldn't have comprehended that I would have been given back by Mr. Burns.
And maybe an orphan or something.
Right, an orphan, maybe a deserter from a Union regiment. But they were certainly... They were certainly paying attention to me, and in my training, I had been coached to always avoid scrutiny because scrutiny might result in becoming captive, and if we were captured, they might have difficulty extracting us from a location in the past or future. So again, my training kicked in, and I moved to another location on the more again to the center of the dais, the left corner of the dais, and there were two Union officers, and I was questioned by them about where my regiment was. And what my regiment was and where I was bivouacked. And I remember saying, you know, what's bivouac, sir? And they laughed hysterically. So here was more scrutiny that I realized I should avoid. So I thought, this is really strange. My dad's here. Some of the civilians of Gettysburg are noticing me. Now two Union officers who must be guards for President Lincoln have noticed my presence, and they're wondering why this Union bugle boy is there without his regiment, dressed sort of haphazardly at that.
Yeah.
So I decided, my training kicked in, and even though at that point I really sort of wanted to see Abraham Lincoln give the Gettysburg Address, I decided to walk about 200 paces on a diagonal away from the dais. And because I was, you know, walking along in these grossly oversized shoes, sort of like shuffling along, I wanted to conceal the size of the shoe so I wouldn't attract any more notice. So I held my left foot forward and my right foot to the side, and I looked in the opposite direction from the Wills Hotel, where Lincoln would soon be arriving. And it was in that strange posture, dressed in the clothing that John Lawrence Burns gave me, wearing grossly oversized men's shoes, as a time traveler from 1972 in DARPA's Project Pegasus, that I was photographed in the photograph that until last year was the sole surviving photograph to show President Lincoln at Gettysburg. On the day that he gave the address there. That's known as the Josephine Cobb image of Lincoln at Gettysburg.
How did you know that was you?
I knew it was me because as the project was winding down in 1971-72 timeframe, when we were still in New Jersey, had not yet moved to Southern California in November of 1972, I found that image in a contemporary news magazine. I don't know whether it was an old issue or a 1970-71-72 issue. I believe it was Life magazine. It may have been Look. It may have been the Sunday New York Times magazine supplement. But I was paging through a stack of magazines that a neighbor of ours had given to my mother, and my sister and I were out in the front stoop paging through these magazines, and I found that image. And I thought, my God, that's me at Gettysburg. There I am standing with my feet askew so nobody would notice the grossly oversized shoes. It must have been a Saturday or probably a Sunday because I then took that magazine into the house. My dad was reading the paper, and I said, Dad, look, they got an image of me at Gettysburg. And he said, yep. I said, is that me? And he said, yep, but just don't talk about it. So from that point forward, I have lived with the awareness that the only photograph until, as I said, 2008, I think it was, to show Lincoln at Gettysburg also contains an image of me as a time traveler from the future.